Certainly glad to see everyone here this morning, especially those who are visiting with us. We have one card. Michael and Sarah Campos from Colorado Springs are here visiting with us with their family. They're on their way to visit in San Antonio, and we're glad that they have stayed with us. And whoever else may be visiting, we're glad that you have come to be with us this morning to worship God. In Jeremiah chapter 17, the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, he says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, with the point of a diamond it is engraved on the tablets of their heart and on the horns of your altar." And so we look at that and we see Jeremiah lived in a time of great distress and trouble and problem for Israel. They had turned away from God. The northern kingdom of Israel, a few years earlier, had already been taken into captivity, from whence they never came back. And now Jeremiah is sent to the people of the kingdom of Judah, the remaining Israelite people, and to tell them, unless you repent, then your end is going to be like theirs. You're going to be destroyed and taken into captivity. So he wanted to point out that to them their sin. He says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with a point of diamond, and it is engraved, and on the tablet of their heart and the horns of your altars." In other words, God is not going to forget. It's written there. And unless you do something about it, then God's going to punish you for it. Now, we read on in verse 2 of Jeremiah 17. It says, "While their children remembered their altars and their wooden images, but by the green trees on high hills, O my mountain and the field, I will give as plunder as your wealth and all your treasures and your high places of sin within your borders. And you, even yourself, shall let go of your heritage which I gave you, and I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger which shall burn forever." And so we look at that, and that is what God's retribution upon them is going to be, because they have rejected the will of God. They'd rejected the law of God. They had turned, as it talks about, on the green trees and the high hills. That's where they went, and they offered their sacrifices to the idols, which God forbade them to do. All the way back, the giving of the law in Exodus chapter 20. The first thing God said, "You shall not make any graven image, nor shall you bow down to it." Well, they were doing that. And that's what caused the northern kingdom of Israel to finally to be destroyed and taken off into captivity in Assyria. So Jeremiah is trying to warn them, to tell them, unless you come back, this is what's going to happen to you. But there is a contrast of the unrighteous and the righteous people. Now, there were a few in Israel and in Judah at the time that were still faithful. But the example he's going to talk about is the example of a desert plant versus the tree planted by a plentiful water source. And he says those who are faithful are like that, those who are unfaithful and worship idols, and even those who try to worship God and also try to worship idols also, says they're going to be destroyed also. Now they understood the spiritual application, because these were basically people who dwelled in certain parts of the land were desert, and so they understood the things that Jeremiah was talking about. So in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, it says, "Thus says the Lord, curses the man that trusts in man, and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see the good when the good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not to be inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for and whose hope is in the Lord." So Jeremiah says, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes the arm of flesh his strength, and not the strength of God. And that's what they were doing. Now again, there were some who still went through the motions of worshiping God, offering sacrifices and did the other things that God required in keeping the Sabbath day. And some did that, but they also went up to the hills and offered sacrifices to their idols. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah there says, "It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps." In other words, God says you cannot direct your own steps without the guidance that God gives to you. In Proverbs 3 and verse 5, Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Well, they weren't following that. They weren't following the direction of God. And Solomon or the prophets, they were turning their own way. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, Isaiah said, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God." Well, that was true in Isaiah's time, who lived about 100 years before Jeremiah. It's still true in the time of Isaiah. Time of Jeremiah. Isaiah lived 100 years before. And Isaiah warned the people of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom what was going to happen to them. And during Isaiah's time, it did happen to the kingdom of Israel. Now, Jeremiah says it's going to happen to you also. If you look at Matthew 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And they teach as their doctrines the commandments of men." Well, that's what they were doing in the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah. And so they needed to repent and come back to God. So he says there, Jeremiah 17, verse 5, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." If we depart from the Lord in our heart, our mind, our worship, our service, whatever we do in this life, if we turn away from God's way, we're going to be cast out on the day of judgment. That's God's judgment upon us, and we will deserve it if we reject the will of God. And that's what they were doing. Jeremiah was sent to them to try to bring them back to God's righteous way. In Matthew 26, chapter 6, verse 21, Jesus said, "Therefore, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Their treasure was not with God. Again, they sometimes went through the motions, but it didn't really mean anything because they were also worshiping idols. And some had the idea that there's all these different gods, so we'll worship God, but we'll also worship Baal and Ashtaroth and all of these other gods also. They did not understand that the worship and service to the true God was exclusive of everything else. You could not have a hybrid religion and service to God and be pleasing to Him. And so that's the way they lived. And Romans 10 and verse 9, Paul there says, "With the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." When we confess Christ, we're saying we're not going to worship anything else, anyone else. He is going to be first in our life, and He is going to be the priority. And that's basically what Jeremiah was telling them. And he says, "For he shall be like the shrub," or some translations say the heath in the desert. In other words, if you turn away from God, he shall be like the shrub in the desert. And it says, "He shall not seethe when the good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited." And so that's the way, that's where they're going to be. Now, if you study a little bit on this, there's a certain kinds of plants that we see. If we go out where hardly any rain ever falls, they're called xerophytic plants, which comes from two Greek words meaning dry plant, incidentally. And they hardly need any water. They do get water occasionally, but very seldom. And that's the example Jeremiah is using. They were very familiar with these kind of things, certain kind of cactus and others. But Israel, like them, was dry spiritually. They did not have the blessing of God because they had rejected God. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, Amos, who was came along a little bit earlier than Jeremiah also, said, "Behold, the days come that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So Amos said to the people of Israel, he says, God is going to send a famine in the land, not of having something to eat physically or of water that's needed, but he said it's going to be a famine of the Word of God. And he explains that when we reject God, God's wrath is going to come upon them, and it did, as it will come upon us at the day of judgment if we reject God also. In Jeremiah 2 and verse 13, he says, my people have committed two evils. Well, what are the two evils they had committed? They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. So he says, they have turned away from me, the fountain of living waters. You go over to John, the book of John in chapter 6, and other passages also in chapter 7, where he talks about, if you follow me, Jesus said this, there will flow from you fountains of living waters. Well, they rejected that. He says they committed two evils. First, they reject the source of all good and all right and all blessing of God. They've turned away from him, and they tried to do their own way, and they've carved out cisterns in the ground, but they're broken. So when the water from the rain comes in, it's lost and it's worthless. He says, that's what you're doing now. And he says, for he shall be like the shrub in the desert. And he says, and shall not see when good comes. Their rebellion against God shields their sight for good things. The hardness of their heart would not allow them to see the things that God wanted them to know and to understand. And even the words of Jeremiah were something that they didn't want to follow. If you read in the early part of the book of Jeremiah, when God called him to be a prophet, he says, Jeremiah, you go where I tell you. First of all, Jeremiah made excuses. I'm too young. I can't do this. God says, no, I chose you to be a prophet when you were still in your mother's womb. So you're ready. You're prepared. He says, you go and do what I tell you to do. He says, you go down to the gate of the city and the marketplace. You go there and you deliver the message I give you. And he says they're going to not going to listen to you. They're going to turn against you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to try to put you to death. And they're not going to listen anyway. But go tell them, because I've told you to do it. So Jeremiah did what God said. And of course he had to suffer many consequences because of that. He had to suffer the persecutions that came, even to threats of death. And when he was taken and put down in a well that was dry and left there to die, someone finally brought him out. But he suffered all of those things. And God told him he would, but he says, do what I tell you anyway. And Jeremiah said later on in chapter 20, he says, there, I didn't want to say anything more about God, but he says, there is a fire in my bones to deliver that message. And he did. I turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. Here is another passage concerning the same idea. Jeremiah 3 and verse 5. Excuse me. Hebrews 3 and verse 5. The writer says there, and Moses indeed was faithful in his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm to the end. In other words, if we act like Jeremiah wanted them to act, and we hold on and be faithful to the end. Verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and said they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So God told the people in the land, in the wilderness, in the desert, when he led them through for 40 years, He said, because you have rebelled against me, you will not go into the land. Now their children, the next generation, were able to, but they were not able because they rejected what God said. But notice what he says there in Hebrews chapter 3, excuse me, beginning of verse 12. He says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold from the beginning and with the confidence steadfast to the end. If we hold fast to our faith and our belief, sometimes you're going to fall short. Sometimes you're going to live up to it. But our faith and our obedience and our seeking forgiveness, God's going to forgive and give us the promise of eternal life. But we go back again to Jeremiah chapter 17. He says, but shall inhabit the parched places, a salt land not inhabited. Now they were familiar with the around the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea was down, actually Dead Sea, the surface of Dead Sea is about 1,200 feet below sea level. It's that far down. All the water that drains into it stays. The only reason it gets out is because of evaporation. And because of that, all the salt and all the creeks and rivers that come down there was there in the Dead Sea. In fact, the Dead Sea is got its name because almost nothing can live there. I think they've discovered some kind of microbes that can live in that water, but nothing else does. So it's called the Dead Sea for a purpose. And they understood what Jeremiah was talking about. Shall inhabit a parched place or parched places, a salt land not inhabited. And so they were familiar with the terms Jeremiah was using and what he was talking about. And the spiritual point he was making is that sin kills spiritual people. We may believe and obey the gospel in our day and be given the promise of eternal life. But if we turn away from God, it's as if we go and drown in the Dead Sea, spiritually speaking. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, God said to Adam and Eve after they had sinned, and he told them about it. He said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Now, they did not die physically the day they ate the forbidden fruit, but they did die spiritually because they separated themselves from God's goodness. And so God required the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross for you and me to take away our sin, because we couldn't do it ourselves. Now go back to Jeremiah 17, verse 7. He says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. In other words, we have to place our faith and our trust in him. Verse 8 says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its root by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So he says that we need to be like that. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose trust in the Lord is. Is there means continuing to be. That not just one occasion or two, but all of our life, our trust is in the Lord. Trust there means confidence and faith. If we place our trust and our confidence in the Lord, he's going to see us all the way along the road to in life and ultimately to our goal, which is eternal life. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 11, the Bible says, whosoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. That's a quote from the Old Testament. We'll not be put to shame. Yes, we may suffer persecution. We may be put to shame by human beings around us who persecute us, but we're not going to be put to shame before God, and he's going to take care of us eternally. Romans 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Jeremiah was sent to those people to give them the Word of God, to hear it, believe it, and to obey it. And God would have blessed them and continued to bless them. But they rejected it. By and large, they did. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So it's not just those that believe. He doesn't reward those who simply believe. Yes, we have to believe. That's the foundation of everything else. But we have to act upon that faith. And when we do so, he's going to bless us eternally. 1 John 5:4 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now, it's not because we believe, but we believe that Christ did those things for us that give us the promise of eternal life. In Jeremiah 17, verse 8 again, he says, For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Well, that's something we need to understand also. The tree that is planted near the river or in a water source, it'll spread out the roots and still be green and still produce fruit, even when there's not much rain. It will continue to do so. And we know that that's the way it is. We turn for a moment back to the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 1, David the king, of course, is writing there. In Psalms 1 and verse 1, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the paths of the sinners, or seats in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Again, Jesus said to us the same kind of thing as David did and as Jeremiah says here. But he wants us to give our lives and our hearts and our faith to be in him. And the tree that spreads its roots is going to produce fruit. Well, if we are spiritually strong and we follow the Lord, our life-giving source, we're going to do the same thing. In John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. And if you hold on to me, you're going to produce much fruit. And when we do so, if we hold on to him, we're going to produce fruit in teaching others and setting an example of helping them with the needs of life physically and spiritually. And he's going to bless us for it. In Revelation chapter 22, right at the end of the Bible, in the description of the new Jerusalem that is coming down from heaven, which we're going to be a part of if we're in Christ, he says they're going to be the tree of life. Now, back in Genesis chapter 3, the tree of life was taken away from mankind. And there was an angel with a sword placed there that they could not go and partake of it. If we are faithful to the end, the tree of life is restored to us in our heavenly home. And he says the tree of life bears 12 manner of fruits in all their seasons. In other words, all of the time. It's never going to be taken away, because everything is eternal. He says then, he shall not fear when the heat comes, but his leaf shall be green. The heat won't kill the tree that's planted by the river and has a source of life continuing. Well, Jesus Christ is our source of life every day we live. And in Revelation chapter 1, he says, I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He's not going to have to die again on a cross. He did that one time for you and me forever. In Revelation 7 and verse 16, it says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun strike upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and he shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them into the fountains of waters of life, and God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There's no greater blessing that could be given than that. But we go back into Jeremiah 17. It says, He shall not be of care in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Well, how do we yield the fruit that God wants us to yield? We go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, if those things were easy for us to do, he wouldn't have to tell us to do them. It takes effort, it takes time, it takes a dedication to the Lord to bear those fruits. But if we do that and work on it, love and joy and peace and all of those things, he's going to bless us forever for doing so. John 15, verse 8, Jesus said, Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. How do we bear fruit? We live a Christian life. We set an example. We teach others as best we can of the opportunity and ability we have to follow the Lord also. And in so doing, we help those who are in need, who are around us. And we can be like Psalms 1 says, we can be like the tree planted by the waters. We need to be like that and be like him in every way. In Revelation 2, verse 10, Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. If we are faithful to unto death, we serve him in his way as he has commanded. He's going to give us that blessing. Turn back, I made reference to it a moment ago. Turn back to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. In verse 1, he says, and he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever. Now turn down, look down at verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, may enter into the gates, through the gates into the city. We have the right to the tree of life. Not because of how good we are, but because of how good he is. He was willing to allow Christ to die on the cross. If we believe him, if we're willing to obey the gospel of Christ, then we can have an eternal life with him. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, there is a invitation given in Revelation 22. He says there in verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him who hears come. Let him who thirsts come. Take the water of life freely. If you need to come this morning, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.